Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, hosted by yours truly, Imp the Great. This is podcast episode number 24. Fear is a waste of creative energy. Each time you doubt yourself, you block yourself from solutions and opportunities that can change your life. Unknown author. You ever been driving down the street and all of a sudden this beautiful lady with a body out of this world appears and you be like, yeah, I know you have. Yeah, look, I want to dedicate this song to them. Check it out, look.
Damn, hello, my name is IMP. I was on my way just driving by when your body spoke to me. It said, hey, over here, homeboy, I know you see me. Now, I can't lie, I had to clear my eye because it looked like it was 3D. Damn, keep walking, your body talking that language. We conversating, my concentration on every word that you saying. Each syllable, you got a body that's something fuckwittable. When that booty talk, I'm all ears. All I hear is let's get physical. Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl. Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl. We picked up where we left off. Your ass told me I'm so soft. Your breasts send messages that men receive when they phone off. Your legs said I like to work out. You screaming, girl, with a closed mouth. I'm not saying you strip, but if you strip, that strip joint would be sold out. Damn, your body talk, I'm listening. Man, or in my ears it's whispering. And like Martin said, you're glistening. Damn, them females know you dissing them. Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl. Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl.
Hello, talk your body till you fast asleep. Undercover like a narco, cause I'm in too deep. Every word you said, I heard loud and clear. You were switching that ass, and it said, come here.
Language, her body talking body language. She's crazy, sexy, cool, and dangerous. She'll steal your man, leave you with anguish. Ooh, language, her body talking body language. She's crazy, sexy, cool, and dangerous. She'll steal your man, leave you with anguish. Ooh,
Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl. Rosetta Stone, ain't teach me what you saying, girl. Wanna get her home. I like your conversation, girl. That body talk, I comprehend your meaning, girl. That sexy walk speaks loud and clear, you screaming, girl.
You are now listening to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. We support, motivate, and encourage rappers over 30 to stay healthy, relevant, and successful.
Podcasting from a home studio somewhere in Los Angeles County, this is the Rappers Over 30 podcast, and here's your host, Imp the Great.
Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, episode number 24. I'm your motivational host, Imp the Great, formerly known as the Imperator of Rhyme, but you can call me Imp. Yeah, make some noise. What's up, y'all? Happy Thursday is going down. Yeah, that's right, y'all. Happy Thursday. The song you just heard is called Rosetta Stone, and it's from my 2013 release, Old Dog, New Tricks, which is available at imptheGreat.com. The Rappers Over 30 podcast is a supportive, motivational rap podcast for rappers over 30 and the hip-hop community. The podcast has several ongoing topics like health, business, staying relevant, and killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the black community. The podcast is available on all major podcast apps, and your contributions will ensure future shows and events. Contributions can be made via Cash App to $Rappers Over 30, or a contribution can be made via PayPal to From Rap to Film. Let's get into some exclusive, unreleased music from Illosophic Records. This is Elevated.
Yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah. We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah. Take them through my lyrics matrix, yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah. We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah. I just hit the snares and I lose all control in this bitch. Many nights, many hours, I gave my soul to this bitch, but they don't love me, no. But that's how the gang gon' feed you, and then they chew you up and spit you out when they don't need you. Hooked up with Chisholm, now a nigga making super tracks. Then I dropped a pen and freestyle like Super Nap. Yeah, my uncle famous, but I had to find my own way. I'ma be in heaven, still trapping like I'm Gonza K. My name going state to state, Spotify 100K. You do like 100 plays, I do 1,000 every day. Just know that I'm quiet, I'm on some shit that can make some noise. Plus a nigga making beats, sounding like the
Take them through my lyrics matrix, yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah.
We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah. Take them through my lyrics matrix, yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah. We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah, I elevated.
Believe I'm faded, got woman inebriated. Gave you what you need on your playlist. Stay lit with your A-list favorite. Yourself gets recreated. We rent differentiated, really unaffiliated. Refills rehabilitated, with the will to take it. Evolution of the matrix, inversion taking great risks. Hips to the way that they play tricks. Lay bricks in mosaics, art on a consistent basis. Persistent with my graces, in an instant put them in their places. In the presence of the greatest, you can give love to your haters and invade. We're now neighbors. See the light in the sabers. Play the enablers with the label of what's in your nature. Wager the paper and return the favor later.
My lyrics matrix, yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah. We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah. Take them through my lyrics matrix, yeah. Exotic be my medication, yeah. We going up like elevators, yeah. I leveled up, I elevated, yeah. I elevated.
Look, I'm heating up like a microwave. Plus, I'm really trending, I'm a cyberwave. Skip the type of games. Treat a human like a robot, I'm a Michael Brain. Hey, getting to the dollars in all kind of ways. Yeah, I remember days I didn't have a play. Hey, I don't know what they wanna call it. Every day I'm on my grind, I'm a workaholic.
Kobe, mama mentality. Been through dramas and brutality. Vested monstrous in depth perceptuality. Void the preposterous. We're finishing move fatalities. Giving life to consciousness. Steadily increasing salaries. Available readily, hourly sacrifices. Niceness is priceless. Breakthrough and crack the crisis. Iced up from Brady to Gretzky. I'ma demand you intensely. From Bruce Ipman and gently. You can get this work on death. Test me. They don't impress me. I'm Stallone with a script. Ain't been the same since. Jordan on his last shot at game 6. Fame to claim this. No shortcuts, we work for it. Can't ignore it. We score big and absorb it when it's out of orbit. Painted the portrait when the storm hits, pushing the muscle strong. Good things come to those that get the hustle on. Got guts for the gusto. It's not a 9 to 5. It's when I open my eyes till I close my eyes. My dreams go live.
Look, I'm heating up like a microwave. Plus, I'm really trending. I'm a cyberwave. Hey, top your locations, get the type of games. Treat a human like a robot. I'm a Michael Brain. Hey, getting to the dollars in all kind of ways. Yeah, I remember days I didn't have a play.
It's that 24-7 like easy pass, the never ending. I've been hitting licks before out of sign, you were style bending. Never punched the clock, but always on time. Overnighting trips, switching whips like Optimus Prime. Brother, there's no OT for niggas responsible for survival. Look at Michael and the Beatles, what Hova just did with Tidal. Look what Ruger did with rifles, America did with idols. Joe Jackson had done with Michael, how Christians still use the Bible. It's a grind, nigga, harder than Tony Hawk. In 96, accountants flip, paper trail niggas, and I ain't signing shit. I done switched hotels four times in one night. They took a chance and made 12 grand, that's all for one flight. I'm beating time, Sorcerer Supreme, nigga. Drop the location, they only offer us some cream, nigga. Don't make it strange until it's front page when niggas on stage. I'm whipping pots and hitting blocks until I'm deep in your veins. I got that work, nigga.
Look, I'm heating up like a microwave. Plus, I'm really trending, I'm a cyberwave. Top your low cases, get the type of games. Treat a human like a robot, I'm a Michael Brain. Getting to the dollars in all kind of ways. Yeah, I remember days I didn't have a play. I don't know what they wanna call it. Every day I'm on my grind, I'm a workaholic.
They got you on the running, man. Gauntlet in this wonderland. Too easy to misunderstand. Red with the gun in hand. Call yourself the son of Sam. Sold in the underpants. Caught up in the summer jam. Overstand the number cram. Stay and play the other hand. Dealt with the dealing. Injuries are healing. True colors are revealing. Twisted in the stomach cramps. Going through the feelings. Nothing more than raising the ceiling. The smartest murk the plan. Don't accept the circumstance. The hardest working man. Control to determine the thermostats. B-boys in the furnace stands. With the hands crossed. After the dance off, bucket list gets crashed off. Glass jaw with the last straw, we let it blast strong. Keep the mask on, that same old sad song is passed wrong. I think very deeply, completely breezy. Working it, nothing worth having comes easy.
Look, I'm heating up like a microwave. Plus, I'm really trending, I'm a cyberwave. Drop your low cases, get the type of games. Treat a human like a robot, I'm a Michael Brain. Getting to the dollars and all kind of ways.
Beat talent if talent don't work hard. I like that. Workaholic featuring Cozy Sutra, Avion Mosley, and Jism High Definition. That was preceded by Elevated featuring Avion Mosley and Jism High Definition. Hey, Jism, I'm liking these songs, man. You got some nice tracks here, man. Dope. Check it out, y'all. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, in regards to one of my ongoing topics, Killing Willie Lynch Syndrome in the Black Community, recycling Black dollars as well as supporting Black business is essential. Not only from Black people, but from all other ethnicities that have love for Black culture and Black people. Why is it essential that non-Blacks support Black business? It's essential because supporting Black businesses creates jobs and other opportunities. These jobs and opportunities help support families. They replace idle time with something positive and productive, which in turn uplifts the community and fosters a sense of pride in young adults who are employed. Supporting Black businesses puts money back in the Black community, money that we spend every single day with non-Black owned businesses. I mean, think about it. How often do you spend a dollar, $2, $100, $1,000 with a Black business? I understand it ain't that many around, right? I got that. I understand it may be an inconvenience to get to one. Well, you can use the internet. You could use DoorDash. Or you can just inconvenience yourself a little bit for the sake of the bigger picture. So as I stated earlier, if you have love for Black culture and Black people, action speaks louder than words. Direct some of your spending power to Black-owned businesses. We got a dope interview with Jism High Definition following this triple play. This is A Better Way, and it's produced, written, and performed by yours truly, Imp the Great. Let's go.
One more game, baby.
Hey,
what you need?
Man,
hey,
baby.
Hey, Lee, hey, just fuck around.
Yeah,
hey,
you know. Look, don't grind no cause I can do something for them. Why you run your mouth? And these fiends been smoking cracks back when I was a child. I'll be 18 next month, but look, 25. Why I hit this so you don't get high? That's cool. I don't push this shit, but the block one day, they go George Bush this bitch. Shit's out of control. Man, them hoppers is wildin'. That nigga tattoo had a crack house called Fantasy Island. Him and them young guns had beef. Them niggas knocked out his teeth.
Show you right. When you grasp it, hold it tight. Before you pass it, take a last hit. Turn it up, blast it, get blow tonight.
Stay home. If you ain't with this party, we about to bar it up. We bought enough for everybody.
Lonely Sinatra, did it my way off a fifth of vodka. Travel each and every highway, Marauder. Took the blows off the avocado. The record shows that the watch Akasha and the plot the slider. We doubted hotter. You felt it with a fat felted marker. The fader's darker, I'm the creative sparker. On that cutting edge, my blade is sharper. You don't prepare for an early departure. I'm the owner and the author. Modern day, saints get martyred. Stop acting, why bother? This ain't your opera, become like water. Shapeless and formless, my performance is enormous in the corners with my chakras. I'm the show shocker, microphone doctor, new rocket will launch your flourish and prosper. Don't encourage the monsters, calculate the profit from losses. Respect the bosses, casa es su casa, king me Mufasa. Another day at the office, hasta luego, off that fuego rasa.
Stay home, if you ain't with this party, we about to bar it up, we bought enough for everybody.
Hey now, so you finally decided to come hang out. Now from the jump I say I'm not with the games now. Check your tone, watch what come out your face now. Who's at the mouth to get you straight out laid out? Sent on your way with some shit to complain about. I bring the thunder upon you like a rain cloud. For behaving foul, not today pal now. So anyway, that away, this away. I innovate while they anticipate. I'm never disarrayed when I demonstrate. On every single stage I facilitate. Imitators better find a quick getaway. I'm in the cut, I'm on the back street in LA. I rep Crenshaw, LeMurph, Vicente. You beginners been afraid. Give me your dinner plate, spit marinade. Give it a minute to penetrate, engage. Either you in it or in the way, invade the center stage. If I may, but this ain't no matinee, no anime. Smacking your racket away, taking it back to back in the day. Like racking a jacket from Broadway, broad day. Now shout it out, rowdy style. If you about it proud, then the crowd will bow.
Stay home, if you ain't with this party. We about to bar it up, we bought enough for everybody.
Watch out, Wookiees, don't get hit with a box of Girl Scout cookies. She sweet, make your dreams come true. Play to win, hell yeah, can't lose. We style, we wild, we been up, yeah, for days now. It's still electric, slide to the beach, you must respect it. We don't age, income gotta come in five ways. Lose it if you feel the vibe. We styling, we getting them high. Blow the roof off the top of the coupe. We drowning in that 80 proof. Stir it up like sips of soap. Hand up, I spit the truth. No shame, we on no name. We don't play no, no game. We want that big bang change. Y'all ain't be act so strange. Chasing fame, no way. Off the goose leaning in the hallway. Been a rough year, yeah, let's pray. Everybody let me hear y'all say.
Stay home. If you ain't with this party, we about to bar it up. We bought enough for everybody.
Spit, hold it tight. Before you pass it, take a last hit. Turn it up, blast it, get blow tonight. Show you right. When you grasp it, hold it tight. Before you pass it, take a last hit, turn it up, blast it, get blow tonight.
Balanced life, forbidden fruits given to suffice the demon's appetite. Have a slice, or better yet, a bite of bad advice. The difference between mad and mice is how you adapt to challenges, strife, fight or flight. The longest journey one can embark upon is from the head to the heart, minus the head start. Get your hardship on. A stepping stone is meant to get you to the next stone, and it's gone, move on. Miss the lesson, repeat the step. What you tripping on? Cut your intuition on. Under humdrum, some come undone like fist of palms. My list of wrongs is long, trying to situate myself amidst the calm and quiet moments where the mind is the only opponent. The path gradually shown lit. Let there be light through lessons learned. As life takes its twists and turns, experiences earned as to keep the foundation firm. I stand at the corridor of consciousness. Had to grow to grasp the concept of seeing it all as a process.
I don't wanna take that dance with you. Let the questions take their answers through. Learning life's lessons is a constant thing.
Consciously, cautiously through the animosity, void the nonsense scene. Logically, Boston lost demons won't do hypocrisy. Stay above the gossipy, nothing better to do than talk of me. Saying the word honestly, tipping off that you're lying, and giving up the war we're fighting, living up before dying. Shining on the horizon with an alliance of angels and lions, through the danger of violence, adapted the game changers, break silence, sound sirens, the minions function, how bent on destruction, and deconstructions, beep up interruptions, think pressure through the concussions, prepare for the repercussions, rushing to drown you under, counsel the appointment with death, demon assassins and bounty hunters. They say attacking our passion in limbo, expiring in a grim tone, engulfing fallen angels in a lake of heavenly fire and brimstone. Blown by what you've been shown, when they rear it, don't fear it, to clear it and go. Expel from your mind, body, spirit, and soul. Kill it with sheer wit, learn them, confirm it releases a serotonin. Never let where you came from determine where you're going. Kill it with sheer wit, learn them, confirm it releases a serotonin. Never let where you came from determine where you're going.
I don't wanna take that dance with you. Let the questions take their answers through. Learning life's lessons is a constant thing.
In the dark, see my soul sparkling at the altar, they leave burnt offerings. Let me know when you're ready to go. Jumping through portals with the oracle. Give me a second, I'll be there. Give me some water and a chair. They don't know the half of it, say it. They scared. We laugh at it. The eye of Ra and the Baphomet. That's our shit. All like shit. The music, mystic magic. Babak Benu, Nuk Misura.
Say it.
Ah, Hung, I saw Ong. Learn the names of my demons. Argue and dance with them even. What do you believe in?
You believe in. Oracle, keep it cool.
My tarot, the magician, the hermit, and the fool. We take deep breaths and exhale flames. Oracle, upset the order of things.
Order of things.
Say it.
I don't wanna take that dance with you. Let the questions take their answers through. Learning life's lessons is a constant thing.
Podcast listeners, thanks for tuning in. That was Constantine featuring Jism, preceded by Stay Home featuring Jism and Neb Love. We started that triple playoff with A Better Way by yours truly, Imp the Great. Over 100 years ago, today's guest, Robert Jism, high-definition Leon would have written poems, novels, and philosophies in the likes of William Shakespeare. He would have painted complex masterpieces like M.C. Escher, Picasso, and Salvador Dali. He would have traveled the world, womanizing and exploiting his talents, knowledge, power, and success like none other. In this day and age, Jism translates this creative energy into incomparable multidimensional beats that leave visible scars, fresh innovative rhyme patterns, and deliveries that show you how deep the water flow and how powerful the rising tide is becoming. Jism created a wave of respect and integrity that nothing can stop. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, without any further ado, put your hands together for the MC, producer, and Illosophic Records, the one and only Jism High Definition. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, I got Jism in the house. What's up with you, Jism?
It's the All Daily Merciless Man, the Jism High Definition. Good to be here, brother. Chilling.
Yeah, we're about to find out a lot about you this evening here, man. We've been knowing each other for years, and without really knowing each other.
Word.
Let's start with the name. Break down the name to me. What's up with the name Jism? Is that, you know, where did the name come from? Is it an acronym, and what does it mean?
Jism High Definition, in totality, is the full artist name. Originally, when I was 12 years old, I went by MC Two Sweet. I got that name from the Penitentiary movie. That was like an old 70s movie where he was a boxer and he had a girlfriend named Sweet Enough and had a homie named Saddam Scene. It was on some exploitation era. I thought it was dope. Ran with that at 12 years old all the way to 18. And at 18 years old, I figured, okay, I'm old enough. I need to switch up the name and switch up the routine. Too Sweet, being a battle MC, you know, giving dentures cavities really wasn't the thing. So I needed some adult shit, and I was smashing a lot. I had a lot of girlfriends at a young age, and I was busting. I still am busting. But Jism is insemination of fluid that carries spermatozoa, one of the male reproductive cells. So it is what it is. It's the path towards immortality. Everybody that is walking around a day came from it. It's beginning and an end, and actually a path towards infinity through the music. You know what I'm saying? Living through ever, through the music, through the lyrics, through Ill Philosophies, which is my record company that I started in 1994, about a year after I adapted to the Jism High Definition name. The homie Omid, from Beneath the Surface, that producer, had some old cassettes where I was actually at the Good Life, still is Too Sweet, kind of going through some different names. I think at one point I called myself Vitamin D, and another one, I say I was the Almighty, and then ultimately I stuck with Jism, Almighty Jism. It evolved into Jism High Definition in 95, and I've been with that ever since.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely familiar with the Penitentiary series and Mr. Leon Isaac Kennedy, who played that guy. So, yeah, I'm familiar with that. I'm Too Sweet. And okay, so you start off at MC Too Sweet. I think MC that was a good Sweet. I think that was a good idea to change that name. Well, if you was a player, if you was a player, that's okay, though. If you was a player, as long as you was a player.
I was a battle MC first and foremost, you know?
Yeah.
I can say my first record was cut in 1991. I was in a group called The Unit with MC TNT. That's the dude that taught me to freestyle. I had written rhymes. I met this dude at a record store, and I busted from him in the record store, and he's like, yo, you should come out and do shows with us. We do lowrider car shows. They were on the volume 2 lowrider soundtrack. I know they've been like the volume 80 or something, but they were doing shows with Melamine Ace, Kid Frost, Lighter Shader Brown. And I started rolling with them to do these shows. And we used to have a producer out in Fresno. We used to drive from LA to Fresno. And on the way to Fresno is where I learned how to freestyle. On that 4-hour trip, TNT was a freestyle perfectionist, and he would go off and he was like, "You can't freestyle." I'm like, "Well, I never tried." He's like, "Well, the only way to learn is to try and practice." And you know, he goes, we were just taking turns going at it, spitting subjects and words, and sharpening up the beginning of the tool, ultimately.
Yeah, I used to, speaking of A Lighter Shade of Brown, I used to be on K-Day's list of MCs. Like when they had an event going on, Cooling in Compton, whatever, they would always call me. And I had a song called Grooving back then. And Lighter Shade of Brown, and I think it was a girl named Shiro.
Shiro.
Yeah, and they used to perform too. Now this, mind you, this is before they came out with Grooving, right? Grooving on a Sunday. But that was my main song. So I guess they liked that so much, they decided they was going to do the song. They did a great job with it, you know? But Battle Cat had actually produced my Grooving song. And that was my go-to song. We go out and I perform my Grooving. I guess somebody told them, "Hey, you guys should do that and get Shiro to sing on it." But they dope, though. I like the fact, you know, they pushed ahead and did their thing. So that's cool.
They were on their own situation. One Dope Mexican, ODM. When we used to all like party at the hotel rooms after these lowrider car shows, and we used to have groups of girls that we used, you know what I'm saying? It was some good partying. But in between the partying, we exchanged information, and ODM was actually making beats for me. One of the beats that he made for me, I had it on cassette. And when I rolled up to the Good Life, I performed off of his beat, the song called Reject. And that was my little blow up at the Good Life. And I believe the night that I did it, it was one of the nights that, you remember that movie Sugar Hill?
Sugar Hill, yeah, I remember that.
So the producers of that movie came out to the Good Life, and I guess they brought hats and shirts. And they were, I remember Fish getting on the mic and saying, "So if you blow up tonight, you're gonna get one of these hats." You know, I did that Reject joint, got people, you know, giving love, got a hat, that Sugar Hill hat. I wore it for like a year. Every Thursday when I would come up to the Good Life, I was rocking that hat like it was a trophy, because I was proud that I had the blow up that I got one of the hats. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And I was still like learning, you know, meeting everybody. There was still, you know, I really didn't know everybody the way it evolved into a couple of years later.
So who were some of your influences when you was starting as MC Two Sweet? That was one of your first rapping names, right?
Yeah.
So what rappers or singers or whoever it may have been were your influences, early influences?
I listened to everybody. I used to listen to everybody ultimately. I like EPMD. When I was writing my first songs, I was bumping Too Short, heavy. You know, like that Life is Too Short cassette. I was into NWA, Too Short. And then it changed as I grew, as I started writing and recording. I was into Tribe Called Quest. I was into EPMD, Rakim. I was ultimately influenced by everything. But most importantly, in 91, I remember at every party, because I used to DJ as well. But if I was in DJing, I used to roll up to the parties with a record just to make sure I could get on the mic. You know, at 15 years old, 16 years old, I wanted to make sure I could bust. So I used to carry two records around. One of them was X-Clan, and the other one was KMD. I used to perform to this song called Peach Fuzz. Mm-hmm. And when I used to perform, it was back in the party crew days, where everybody used to have those hats that said their party crew name on it, like Latin Asiatic Brotherhood and, you know, LAB and you know, everybody, it was the era where these hats were going down. There was this group of girls that went to the nearby high schools that I knew a couple of them were jocking me, but they called themselves Too Damn Sweet. So they were kind of like my girl posse. Mm-hmm. But, I don't even think I ever hooked up with any of them, but they loved me to death. But whenever I would bust and that Peach Fuzz would come on, they would, you know, there'd be like 12 girls saying Peach Fuzz, and they go from 12 girls to like half of the crowd saying Peach Fuzz on my hooks. Mm-hmm. So I really took love to that KMD record. That was like the B-side for Gas Face Refill. That beat was just crazy. Hey. I even have a video where I was in a contest and I won this rap contest at this place called The Switch, which is Three Palms in Hacienda Heights. And when I won the contest, I was supposed to win a video, but I performed that song. And one of the girls that I went to high school with, she used to dance for Yo-Yo. And she came out and danced for me, and I had the Lords dancing for me. I got it on VHS. But busting the peach for us. Rest in peace to MF Doom.
Yeah, I was gonna let people know, but I'm sure the Rappers Over 30 got that part down. Now, let me ask you this. In regards to your voice, the question I'm going to ask you, a lot of people don't like to answer this, but it's a good thing to answer because people like to know if you're trying to tell somebody about an artist, they want to know what popular artist can they say they're similar to. But you got such a unique voice, it's hard to put a thing on it. But just asking you, who have people said you remind them of over the years? Throughout the years, have people said, ooh, when you finished rapping, did you remind them of anyone?
That's the hardest part, because I started when there wasn't really popular rap. You know what I'm saying? I was rapping. The popular rap artists were Run DMC, EPMD, Rakim. Hip-hop wasn't on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you couldn't turn on Power 106 and hear hip-hop until the Baker Boys showed up in 1994 and started doing Friday Night Flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, back then, there really wasn't a real pop, even though there was hip-hop rappers out there, there wasn't a popular artist. So I never wanted to sound like anybody. But as far as, like, what I used to listen to and what I was more intrigued by, I used to like Horizon's features. I used to have that cassette play on reverse in my truck and rolled it with. And I remember people say, oh, yeah, you got that. I remember Julio G came through the record store that I was working at and heard me bust the verse. It was like, okay, you kind of sound like Korach's teachers. Beyond that, I've had people compare me to later in the years, like in 97, I had people say, oh, you sound like Saphir because you got that deep voice. I don't know.
Saphir from the Bay? From the Bay Area?
From Hobo Junction. Yeah.
Well,
people say, oh, you sound like Rock from the Boot Camp Clip. I don't think I sound. I love Rock. I as far as Smith & Wesson, I believe was the crew,
from the Brooklyn, Camp, I think. Smith & Wesson. They're from Brooklyn, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Now, I listen to that shit and bump it, but I don't think I sound anything like them dudes. I don't think I sound like any popular rapper. What popular rapper do you think I sound like?
You just got your voice is unique, almost like I would say, and not even sounding like him, but just so unique that stands out. Almost, I would say, RBX. You know how his voice stands out? You're unique. Yeah. You know, your voice is unique. You do remember K-Day, right?
What's that?
Do you remember K-Day Radio?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because you had mentioned that radio, something about the radio until 94.
The Greg Mack show back then, too.
Yeah, because they definitely had some rap on the radio before the Baker Boys.
K-Day had the K-Day show, the breakdance and shit. They had some really dope DJs up there killing it. But as far as, like, on FM radio, regular radio, hip-hop that you can listen to, right now, you can turn the radio on, and it's on five different stations. Back then, it wasn't on one. It was just disco and house. And K-Day was only around for how many years back then? Were they on AM radio?
Well, I actually won their last rap contest they had. I actually won K-Day's. I got a plaque around here somewhere for that. I won their last contest.
I used to listen to a radio station that called KKHR, and I used to record it on my little Fisher-Price radio in the 80s. Just because they played breakdancing music. It was breakdancing music, you know, early on.
So how'd you find your way to the Good Life? How did that come about?
That came about from a magazine called Herb Magazine. I worked at the record store. We gave away Herb magazines for free. I was reading it and reading the write-ups in Herb Magazine about the Good Life every week. And I'm like, yo, I want to check this spot out. And I didn't actually get to check it out till after I seen, like, one of the most incredible concerts I had ever seen in 93. And this, I'm just going to state it, because when I, it was a different type of show. I went to a show at Leonardo's, which I performed at many times, but it was a night that Freestyle Fellowship, Far Side, Alcoholics, Naughty by Nature, No Figures of Speech performed. The Wascals performed as part of the Far Side show. And it was also with Queen Latifah. I think Queen Latifah was the host for the show. I remember going to this show, and when Far Side did their show, Fat Lip was standing on his head, busting rhymes. And at one point, they banged into the turntable. So they were wrestling and, you know, like pretending like they were jumping off the top rope. It was a real theatrical performance. And it was like one of my favorite all-time concerts, being so, you know, I was under 18 and I was just witnessing some ill shit. And then in the middle of the show, they invited a couple MCs out the crowd to grab the mic and spit. The reason I'm telling you this story, because I was one of them, and another one was Will.i.am from At Bang Clan. It wasn't before At Bang Clan, actually, at the time. And or maybe right in the midst of it. But both of us got on the mic and spit, and the crowd gave us love. And when we got off the mic, we were in the crowd talking to each other, and he was like, yo, I don't want to do shows like this. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is the illest show I've ever seen so far. And this is before the show even finished. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was saying, like, this is one of the best performances that I've had, let alone we just rocked it. Like, we only did one verse, but we got the crowd hyped. And, you know, there was a good 800 people there. It's like, nah, man, I don't want to do shows where there's 500, 800 people. I want to do concerts with millions of people. I want to travel the world. Listen, I'm like crazy at the time. You know what I'm saying? Let alone, I didn't really understand what he was talking about, but he had that vision. Mm-hmm. And then he brought that vision to life. Them dudes became like the number one rap/pop group in the world and performed at 3 Super Bowls. And everything that he said that night, he brought it to life.
Yeah, he brought it into existence. Now, how old were you guys then? Maybe 15, 16 or something like that?
I want to say 17.
Yeah, I think I remember. Was that on Weston? Was Leonardo's up on Weston somewhere, Weston Avenue?
I think it was off La Brea.
I remember that club. I may have been out there that night up there. I don't know if I went in, but I think I was out there that night. I remember they had they probably had several shows up at Leonardo's. So
it was a sick show. And the thing is, I'd already knew who Micah Nine was, the Freestyle Fellowship. And I remember when he was busting, I was in the front, like, and when he was busting, he was like, he had eye contact with me when he was killing this shit. He was like, for some reason, it looked like he was focusing on me while he was getting his verses off and shit. Mm-hmm. It was dope. It was a dope night.
Yeah, Mike is amazing. I saw Mike, I kind of, obviously I met him at the Good Life, but I remember him being at some symposium and just talking. And I just thought when he was talking, I thought he was just so intellectual. You know, when Mike was talking, I was like, damn, this dude is very intelligent. You know, I started to put on his shirt. I had his shirt up. So I put my little Superman and Batman shirt on, but I got a gang of Mike, and I got my rep in the Hip Hop Clan. Rest in peace, DJ True.
So. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you got, yeah, man, it's the thing I like about this podcast is we get to find out so much more. So, you know, you're telling me
you're going back to the earlier years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So tell us about your Illosophic Records. You know, you say you started that, and where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Illosophic Records started off on cassette. I did this cassette called Don't Even Trip that I dropped in 1994. And it had production from Moan from Circle of Power. I think he produced most of the album. Then Me and Omid collabed on a beat, and I never made beats before, but we banged out one together. And, you know, I printed up these cassettes, and I took these cassettes to the Good Life. And, you know, we had them on the table, you know, at upside Ebo's instrumentals and Omid's and Project Blow cassette, I think, was coming out right around the same time. So, and I also, everywhere I rolled, I was shooting them out. When I rolled up to the Friday Night Flavors show, when I rolled up to the Wake Up show, I hit Sway and Tech with the Don't Even Trip cassette. And then after that, I did a second cassette called Never to Be Released, and I had started working with other artists, including AWOL One, and I can't really recall the exact details, but the Never to Be Released cassette evolved into being the Illosophic Volume One cassette. The Volume One cassette had a total of like 22 songs, and I was selling those, slanging those, and that evolved into taking 8 songs off of the cassette and doing 8 fresh songs or remixes and putting it out on the CD version. Then I went from CD. It was kind of backwards because usually when you put out records, you start off with a 12-inch. The 12-inch is a single. After the single gets some buzz, 3 or 4 months later, you're supposed to put out the CD and the cassette at the same time. And then, you know, back then, that was like not everybody had a video. Videos were too expensive to make happen. So the 12-inch was like the video, and that's how DJs would play on the radio and so forth. But I didn't have the money to do that. So I basically had a slang cassettes. I was out there with my boombox outside of the shows. Like the Breakestra had this dope show. I remember that was over by Fat Beats off of Vermont. I can't recall the exact name right off the Breaks. It was called the Breaks. Mm-hmm. And I used to be outside the show at every event with my boombox and my box of cassettes so people could hear what it is in order to buy it. You know what I'm saying? And I took the money from the cassettes, put them into the CDs. I took the money from the CDs, put it in the wax, and I pressed up the wax that was produced by Evidence of Dilated People. So it was the Don't Even Trip EP. It also had another joint that, you know, DJ Drez was scratching on it. It had another joint produced by the people he was rolling with. And I had some wax come out before that. Me and AWOL One and Juice from Chicago had a piece of wax drop in 1995 that was produced by DJ Creativity. Me and AWOL did a song called Root of All Evil. And that kind of like solidified back then the connection with Shapeshifters, which were like 2 different crews at the time. I think they were called the Chainsmokers and the Shapeshifters. And DJ Rob One was the from the ID show, TBS crew. He was like the center that got everybody together, and it evolved into just one group called the Shapeshifters, which was like AWOL One, Circus, and a gang of the other good homies. But we all did a song in 97 called Farmer's Market. I'm not sure if you heard that, but that came out on the Beneath the Surface LP produced by Omid.
Yeah.
And that song, we performed it many times, and that song claimed its own fame, you know?
Yeah, I got that album. I don't think I ever opened it up. I talked about, on one of my other podcasts, I talked about Volume 10's Pistol Grip Pump. And I'd had that album, man, for so many years. And then maybe about 10 years ago, he came up here to do a show and he didn't have an instrumental. And I took the record. My stupid ass took the record and it melted in the car. I had it for all them years. And he showed up and he didn't have any. I said, okay, cool. I'll just crack the record. And it melted all them years. You know, you mentioned Moan from Circle of Power. I'm going to tell you why this is so beautiful when we do this. Yeah. I started out, one of my first rap partners out here was Wiz Wonder. You know Wiz Wonder?
Mm-hmm.
Me and Wiz Wonder lived on the same street. And we started rapping probably together in about 82.
Oh, wow. You know?
And I was the Duke of Disco and he was the disc and he was the disc wizard. And we got a deal. We ended up getting a deal in about 88 with some people. And I just didn't like, you know, I always been an honest dude. I didn't like no fake fraud stuff. And they was talking about setting up some fake contests. And I'm like, nah, I'm cool. And Wiz took the deal. So when he took the deal, it kind of me and him kind of, you know, and that's when the Circle of Power came out. So they went down to wherever they went at and they did that Circle of Power. And it was another brother. Family. Yeah, it was another brother. Because I used to let everybody use my MPC. I used to let Battlecat use my MPC and my turntables, you know. And then I would leave my MPC over to Wiz house because while he was gone, he would allow, I guess, Moan. And it was another brother. He used to work at Guitar Center, Doskin brother. I can't think of his name. But if I said his name, I'm sure you know him. But yeah, me and Wiz Wonder, I got upset at him because he didn't want to do the podcast. He always talked about he busy. Huh?
DJ ICD?
No. I can't think of this brother's name, man. Dawson, but he's on the internet. He's gonna be mad because I forget his name. But yeah, I got a little upset at Wiz because I was like, I'm like, motherfucker, me and you started out together. How you don't want to do the podcast? You know, he's always talking about he's busy. I'm like, man, you got, I mean, I got some stories with Wiz. I mean, that's the early days. That's like, you know, I was rapping before then. But he was my first rap partner. We was the Boulevard Crew, and DJ Quickenham was on the other side of Weston, just down from us a little bit, you know? So, yeah, one day I hope Wiz will get on him. And then we kind of, you know, I kind of went off on him a little bit for not wanting to do the podcast. But shout out to Wiz Wonder. Shout out to Moan. You know, yeah, I mean, just imagine that. Imagine one of your...
That's a homie.
Yeah, shout out to Moan. Yeah, I ain't seen Moan. I think last time I saw Moan, I had this watch on. And I was putting on my, I had put on the internet that I went somewhere to get a band, and the lady said, let me see your watch. And she showed me a Rolex that looked exactly like this. This is a, I can't even see the goddamn name of it, but people be thinking it's a Rolex. And I'm like, well, I just bought it because it's nice. Why? I paid like $300, you know, close to $300 for it. And then Moan busted on the, Moan put on the thing. Yeah, well, I got the real ones, you know, the Rolex. But shout out to Moan. You know, I still got their record. I still got the Circle of Power record. I still got the record that they put out, you know. So, you know,
on that record, there's a dude, Cottonmouth MC. Did you notice, did you recognize the voice? Cottonmouth MC? Yeah.
You know what? I think I got a single. I don't think I got an album. I think I got a single.
So the Circle of Power album, it didn't really have many features. One of the features was Cottonmouth MC. And, I met him going up to the studio. I considered, whenever I rolled over to Big Tito's house, Moan, I considered that the studio at the time. I even brought Malaman Ace over there because I was trying to get Wiz and Moan to shoot beats for Malaman Ace. You know, I tried to get them connected up, and they really looked out, you know, they looked up to him as well as, you know, one of the pioneers. And this is early on. I'm talking like 1993 when, you know, Malaman Ace kind of, Menthi Rosa was 91. What was that saying? Oh yeah. So
you talking about the feature.
One of the days I rolled up there and this skinny dude on a skateboard rolls up and they introduced me to him as Cottonmouth MC. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm that ended up being Alan Minot from the Visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you know what I'm saying? He was down with Circle of Power, and he was part of the Black Forest, which otherwise later became part of as well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise ended up living with DJ Ice AD, which was the DJ for Black Forest, and his brother, you know, him and otherwise were like, you know, spitting rhymes with each other all throughout. But yeah, that's some old history.
I'm gonna send you a picture of me and Wiz Wonder back in the day, and it was another guy, DJ guy, with his big old jerry curl. But I'm gonna send you a picture of us way back in the day. We got to say it took a 8x10 of us. Yeah, and we supposed to did the deal. And I just wasn't feeling everything. And everything what I thought, you know, about him, I'm not gonna go into all the rest of the details. It ended up coming to be true, you know? So I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't go that route anyway. But he did get his deal out of that and got his record pushed up out of there. So once again, shout out to Wiz Wonder. The whole Circle of Power, the Black Forest came from that. You know, What studio were you going to? Because I remember they had a studio in Alhambra.
And that's... Alhambra.
Oh, the studio.
I recorded a couple songs on 2-inch tape that I had to get striped. And we did that at Scandalous Studios in Alhambra. It was owned by Steve Yano.
Yeah. Wow. You know, all these years, I must have just forgot that was Steve Yano's studio. That's where I did like a lot of the Evolution of a Man album at.
Well, yeah. I mean, because I was doing, I actually did some shows with High C back then. And I knew High C from when I was into NWA and Too Short. You know, like I was listening to High C talking about making girls use his dick as a toothbrush. His voice, though, I thought he was dope, man. His voice reminded me of Eazy-E.
It sounded like Eazy-E.
Out of everybody that I listened to, High C and Eazy-E had that crazy, hot pitch, like, They just sound wild to me.
Yeah, he had that puppet song. That was a dope song.
I'm not your puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. This is great right here.
That's some other history.
Wow. Did you ever go to the studio off of King and Normandy? That was Wiz's house over there. King, he lived like almost right across the street from me. I've known Wiz since since we was you know, I think I might be about 2 years older than him. I think I was just, or maybe even a year older than Wiz. Wow, this is really interesting. So yeah,
I was going to the spot in Carson.
Mm-hmm. In Carson. So that was probably Moan's house out there.
Moan's crib, yep.
Okay. All right. So you got the record company. You got who are some of the artists you put out on your label?
Well, let's talk about 97, I put out my first piece of wax, which was the Based on Principle 12-inch. And then a year later, I put out another album called Archives. And then we pressed up a Dreamscape 12-inch. And then I put out maybe, as far as wax is concerned, I think I put out maybe, oh, I came out on a couple of people's wax. They were putting wax out at the time as well. This dude, DJ Cheap Shot. I don't know if you remember DJ Cheap Shot. He used to be the DJ over at Loyola Marymount, but he was a producer. He produced a group called Styles of Beyond. Mm-hmm. We ended up doing a session back then where I recorded 6 songs in 5 hours in his studio, which was like my record at the time. As far as I had never recorded so many songs in so little time. But it's not like I went into the studio and wrote the shit, because I actually wrote the songs beforehand. And I had it ready. So when I went in there, I was just, you know,
you was paying for studio time. You was getting the best deal you can get up. You was getting it in, getting that work in.
Well, I was ready.
Yeah, that's how you got
to
do.
Well, I was ready, and I was happy to get into the studio, because back then reality was, I was still recording on a VS-1880. And before that, it was 4-track to the Tascam 424. You know, the Illosophic album. I think only 3 of the songs were recorded on a VS-880 at the time. The rest of it was all 4-track, and me just trying to make it sound as good as I could make it sound. Every hook was dropped separately. Oh, no, take that back. I did record Based on Principle. The songs that Evidence produced, I recorded that at Cutmaster Kurt's crib. I actually did the vocals in his bathroom, and then he mixed it, and that shit came out sounding real crispy, you know? At the time, he was working with Cool Keith and the Dilated Peoples. He recorded both of those albums there as well. But Evidence is the one that recommended we record it there. And then we actually got it mastered at a mastering house in L.A. at the time before it went to wax.
Yeah, I got a couple of those rolling machines to this day. I just got one with all of the plugins. I got a 2480 with all of the plugins on it. I just got plugged up with that. Yeah,
but to speak on who I recorded with, the first Illosophic album, it had features from Dilated Peoples. I had Akil and Charlie Tune from Jurassic 5. And then I also ended up buying a beat machine and producing the album called Show Respect Here. But beyond that, as far as like features were concerned, I recorded with, let's go into the album that I produced. The album I produced had Ahmad from the 4th Avenue Jones, had AC Alone and Abstract Rude on that B-Word Bill McCoy joint. It had LMNO from the Visionaries. It had Mystic Journeyman, PSC from Mystic Journeyman. Otherwise, Michael Myers. Who else was on that album? Drew, Dr. Oop.
Dr. Oop.
St. Mark 923.
Let me double back.
I also have Global Quotations. The Illosophic Volume 1 album had a song with Fish and Riddler from CBE and Reckless.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You mentioned Michael Myers. Somebody had put on Facebook. Who do you see? You know, they had asked a general question. And I just, right off the top of the head, I came with this. I didn't give it much thought, but I just want to get your opinion. They had put on the Facebook, they said, who do you see going against Busta Rhymes in a
verse?
And I said Michael Myers. What do you think of that? Am I lunatic?
I don't hear him chopping up against Busta Rhymes. I think Michael Myers is, I love Michael Myers' delivery and style. I think he's more like Public Enemy meets Wu-Tang, but, you know, he's his own shit. You know, as far as, you know, he's raw, and he got stories.
Like, yeah, he got that energy. I like the energy when I saw him.
He's got rhyme patterns and wordplay. You know what I'm saying? He's got puzzles that he puts together, and he can tell you a story and get it done. But as far as like Busta Rhymes doing all that fast chopping shit, like I've seen a lot of people put Micah Nine's name on there over and over. Like, who can keep up with Busta Rhymes at his best, at his top, mm-hmm. at his speed, at his level, intelligently chopping it and all of that? It's just, you know, I seen Micah Nine's name on that post like at least 10, 20 times. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. You've been a businessman.
I don't think Busta Rhymes can keep up with Michael Myers on his street shit. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like Michael mm-hmm. Myers on his, like what I said, like his Wu-Tang meets Public Enemy.
I want to ask you this, as far as, and I know, you know, a lot of us are underground and everything, but you're a businessman too. And so as far as your label and everything you've been doing, have you ever did any dealings with the industry? And if so, what has that been like? Did you ever secure any type of distribution, or they came and tried to buy you out or do a cold?
I actually did have distribution back in the 90s. I was working with Ground Level Distribution. And they were pressing up the CDs for me and pressing up the wax for me, getting into the record stores and making it readily available. Mm-hmm. And I was also self-distributed, and I was running back and forth to the post office with my records and my CDs. And I was selling it to websites that were moving shit like Sandbox Automatic, hiphop.com. It was a whole bunch of different websites and shit. But I mentioned Sandbox because they were the ones that I could count on religiously. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I used to be the same dude, rolling up into Amoebas and Rasputins and Aaron's and all the record stores mm-hmm. with my records to sell them. And if they didn't want to buy them.
Some Penny Lane. You get Penny Lane in there?
Mm-hmm.
You got Penny Lane?
World Records in Alhambra.
I dealt with a few of them.
You know, I was running around to all those record stores with my CDs and my records. And with the records, I was selling them. But with the cassettes and the CDs, sometimes I had to put them, you know, beat nonstop. I would put them on consignment, and then I'd have to come back and collect, you know, 2 weeks later. So I would show up every 2 weeks mm-hmm. to see if everything sold. And the good thing about it, the shit was selling like, it was a blessing, you know, mm-hmm. back then. Shit, people were buying cassettes mm-hmm. and CDs and records. Like, it wasn't iPods. Yeah.
Have you toured throughout the states and outside the country? And if so, tell me a little bit about your touring experience.
My touring was minimal. I was doing more one stops and like, if I shot out, I could only shoot out for 3 or 4 days because I always held down a job, mm-hmm. you know. I've been managing jewelry stores since started in jewelry in 1994. And I've been a manager since 2000. We're now 2021. I've been managing jewelry stores for over 21 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a day job where I work 48 hours a week, making sure that I live comfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's respectable. That's very respectable.
You know, I started in jewelry in 94. By 1996, I was an assistant manager. I did all that shit for, you know, I guess another 4 years. And ever since I became a manager, I've been a manager all throughout. It's been, you know, I've been a boss. So I've always been a boss.
Yeah, I recognize that when I'm looking at you. When I'm looking at your videos. I see that in your videos. I'd be like, this brother, you're definitely a boss, bro. And hats off. Hats off, I commend you.
And that's my day shit. You know what I'm saying? I pay the bills. I work. I keep the hustle strong. The day hustle to make sure I can do my night hustle. The day hustle is the day job. The night hustle is the music. My life's been pretty fulfilled. You know, when I'm not working, I'm working. I'm writing songs. I'm making beats. You know, I got some side hustles going now where I basically buy and sell computers. So I might as well plug that in real quick. Like I buy iMacs and MacBook Pros. And I fully load them up with the music programs, and I resell them, and I got a gang of the good homies that got it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're fully loaded. Everything you need to record, mix, master, video editing, etc.
Mm-hmm. And production.
So if anybody listening to this needs a computer, hit me up. I got you.
Okay. And you mentioned production too. So you also are a producer. What equipment, yes, hardware, software, what had you used in the past and what are you using nowadays?
Well, in 1998, I bought an MPC 2000. And that's what got my production shit started. I never made beats before besides playing around on Mo Meade's keyboard back that I mentioned in 1993. That was my only beat collab. I did nothing else, credited nothing else until I bought this beat machine. I bought this beat machine and I had this clothing company called Red Gear. Red Gear helped do the Jism shirts with the original Jism logo. And these dudes would show up to the shows like 10 people deep rocking the shirts. Then they would set them up on the table selling them. So their crew rocking the shirts. I had like 20 to 30 fans rocking the shirts. So it kind of looked like I showed up with a posse every time I performed, and which made it easier to sell shirts. I was so proud of these dudes for doing that for me that when I bought the beat machine, I told them, yo, I'm going to produce an album for your clothing company called, I told them, I'm going to call it Show Respect Here because it rhymed with Red Gear. Red Gear was the name of the gear. And after I told them that, they had it all over the internet within a couple of days. And I was like, oh, shit, I better get busy. I better start something. And I had AWOL drop a joint the next day. Within 3 months, I'd already put the 12-inch out with six songs. The 12-inch had Michael Myers, Alamino, Otherwise, and Mystic Journeyman, as well as myself. And then within 5 months, the entire album was done with 20 songs. From that album, like six of the songs or seven of the songs on that album ended up being on the artist album as well and put out a separate 12 inches. Like the B-Boy Real McCoy. Did you ever hear that joint? I'm a B-Boy, Real McCoy. Chocolate all over like an almond joy. That ended up being on AC Alone's Accepted Eclected album and was the B-side to the Accepted Eclected 12 inch on a 12 inch, but it was also on the 18 album as well. The AC Alone Abstract Root LP. It was an AC Alone Abstract Root combination. AWOL 1 put out a song called Permanent Paradise. He put it out on his Four Eye Mortals album, and that became a 12-inch for his Four Eye Mortals album. Pigeon John did a song called Still Fate. That was on the Pigeon John is Clueless LP, and which was on Wax as well. But then he also put it out as a single. The Still Fate was a 12-inch as well. On Pigeon John's joint. There's a number of other ones. I can't really go over all of them, but so there was a lot of wax off of that first album that I ever produced. And back then, man, I can say the biggest reward from that was being able to go out to a random hip hop show, like at the Al Ray, right? As a just, you know, just show face, just support. But then half of the artists that I produce are performing. And then being there in the crowd, and then they're doing my song, and I'm like, yeah, I produced that shit. I'm singing, you know what I'm saying? That high. Those are the two different natural highs that I really am thankful for in hip-hop, which is having other, if you produce something, and you see other people out there performing it, and you're in the crowd enjoying it, and you're seeing other people singing along with it, that is a natural high that is super credible. But then when you're on stage, and you're rocking, and you see 30 to 40 people that you don't know spitting your lyrics along with you, that's the other natural high. That is, you know, that you're spitting, you're in the mode, you're doing yours, but you see all these people singing along with you, and it's like, yo, that's the reason we do this. You know what I'm saying? Let alone, it's like pure happiness because you're giving and you're getting at the same time. You know, and that's the evolution I'm looking for right now. Really getting over, getting back over, and getting these videos out and heard, and staying as active as I've been, specifically so when I go out there and rock, they can rock with me.
Okay, when you leaning forward, we losing your head, Jism. You're getting cut off when you're leaning real close forward. Yeah, you got some dope videos. I saw some with Medusa. You know, I see you got Born a Lot, seen a lot of videos. I see you got, I don't know if that's your girl that's dancing. Who's the girl that's dancing? Is that your girlfriend, or she's just somebody to be in your videos? You had one with the girl, she doing a little sexy dancing there, and you had a lady in there dancing. And I think she might have been in a couple of the videos.
I got different girls in different videos. None of them are my girls. That's So some of them is just on the spot.
Yeah, you had some dope videos, you know. You got some dope.
On the murderer video, though, I had this dope dancer girl that I've been trying to talk to.
Are you?
She got busy. Her name is Ari Alaconde.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's a professional dancer.
So. Yeah, maybe that was one of the memorable ones I saw it in. So it kind of stood out to me. And then the one you had Medusa on, that was pretty tight. You had Neb Love on one. I was checking your stuff.
You did that with West Coast Creations. Shout out to Johnny and West Coast Creations. That joint had Medusa, Patrick Antonian, and Neb Love. It's a song called it's a 300 from the 300 movie. Prepare for Glory.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you have your own video company, too, or do you just hire out someone to do that for you?
No, I work with different videographers all the time. I'll take that back. What am I saying? I pay people to do most of my videos, but just lately, I started off editing. I'd already bought the cameras and wanted to do it at one point. I did a green screen video that I didn't like. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to shoot video. I learned how to edit, but I'm like, okay, I learned, but I'm not going to mess with it. You know, it's real similar to audio, which made it a little bit easier. Then I faded away. But then last year during COVID, one of the dudes that shot my video didn't want to finish editing the video. And he started the editing and wasn't even listening to my request and was arguing. He was like, yo, he said, fuck it. If you want your video done your way, you come pick up the files and do it yourself. Right?
What is wrong with people with that? You're paying somebody to do, you know, what you want, and he still wants to do what he want to do.
Exactly.
That's fucked up. Exactly. I had a guy I recently fired.
I'm not going to deal with it. I went and picked up the files, and I was planning on taking it to my other boy who's dope at editing to have him edit it. But then I got COVID, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to wait till I get past this COVID to get it edited. But then the dude from Canada that made the beat was in the middle of dropping his album. And that album had Rock from a Boot Camp Click. And it also had Alda Sensei from, I forgot, it had a song with Alda Sensei and Sadat X. And had a lot of dudes from New York up on it. And I wanted the video to drop when the album dropped. So I was like, shit, I got COVID. I can't drive to the video dude's house or even be there with him to edit it. And I was like, yo, let me power up my computer, watch some YouTube videos, get reacclimated, and see what I can do myself. And within a matter of 24 hours, I finished editing that whole video.
And what's the name of it? What's the name of that video?
That's called Worldly Ways.
Worldly Ways. It's on YouTube? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to check that out and check out your editing. What cameras are you working with?
That's produced by Navi the North. So that one, I used a Canon T4i. No, take that back. That one was, he used a Canon T4i. And then I had my other homie, Larry Lencho, come out with his dope magic camera that shot in 4K. And we ended up, I ended up editing both footage together to get the final product. Then after that, I had another video that I edited get shot. It was shot by The Conclusion. And a joint called Reader's Digest with Abstract, Rude, and Monstro. I edited this album myself as well.
I saw that one, yeah, with Monstro.
Then I bought a GoPro. I went out to Vegas and hooked up with Soul King, shot it, and edited it within 2 days. Had the video out the week after we shot it. I have another video I'm supposed to be editing right now that features... It's two songs off of the album with me and Monstro. It's called Riders on the Storm, produced by DJ Job Blues. And Alpha MC from Project Load is on one of the songs, but it's a double video. That's what I'm going to be editing tonight, actually.
Yeah, shout out DJ Job Blues. He sent me some dope stuff. He actually did an interview. I actually interviewed him on the podcast. Yeah, he was one of the earlier interviews. Let's switch reels for a minute. Let's talk some politics. Yeah. Let's talk some current events. Let's talk some politics and some current events. Did you hear about the latest news with the Chauvin?
I'm not. No.
Well, one of the jurors, apparently, they found a video of him marching up and down the streets at a protest with a you know, some type of shirt that made some comment in reference to the, I think it was the George Floyd thing. So guess what now? He's subject to be released for mistrial and have to go to court all over again. So oh, just, horrible. Yeah, the guy lied. The guy lied on his questions. They asked him, had he ever, you know, done anything like that? And he lied. So he's going to be out of, I'm thinking he's going to get out of jail, you know? So I'm thinking he's going to get out of jail. Right now, his lawyers well,
the
is.
The juror lied.
The juror lied and said he didn't, the juror, you know.
He was aware, so he kind of went in there to make him guilty regardless of what really happened, which he would have been guilty anyways.
Yeah, so he done fucked it up. And so now who knows what's going to happen, you know, next go round.
That could have been done on purpose, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't know about that? You know what I'm saying? Everybody who in the United States does not know about George Floyd? Mm-hmm. How could you not know about George Floyd? Mm-hmm. I mean, and the only way you could not know is to not turn on your TV in the middle of COVID when everybody was already turning on their TV.
Yeah, so you're doing is turning on your TV. You ain't got too much else to do.
We're locked in, and in the middle of being locked in, there's riots and shit. Police houses burning down. I mean, you know, like.
Let me ask you this. Have you had.
How can you find someone that truly doesn't know anything about that case? Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody knows. You have to be locked up in a tool shed with no TV to not know.
Yeah.
Okay. Injustice. That's an injustice on top of an injustice.
What do you think about, you know, the state of. You know, what's going on in this world today? You got people as far as, like, I went to the pawn shop recently, and they used to have, on any day I went up there, they had at least, they had well over 100 guns. And I go up there now, they got maybe 3 guns. So everybody is strapped up, you know. And
you got to be prepared and ready, and it's a different world. We don't know what's going to happen. And not just prepared and ready for the government, prepared and ready for desperate people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? People are getting more desperate, more homeless people breaking into cars and houses. And it's not a cool world right now. But my point is, not only is racism is at an all-time high, like white supremacy, and it's all out in the open. Everything that, you know, that Trump really instilled in the people was just evil. But now I'm seeing it on both sides. Like, mm-hmm. White, Asian.
Since you went there, I'm gonna go ahead. I've had, you know, one of my ongoing things on my thing is my ongoing topics are is staying relevant, how do a rap over 30 stay relevant, killing Willie Lynch syndrome in the Black community, diet, fitness, and exercise. And music business. So we're gonna go back to the killing Willie Lynch syndrome. But I'm gonna go more so to, because you just mentioned your Black friends and everything. And I said, as this is a difficult thing. I usually, when I'm talking to Black people, I'll usually ask them about, you know, supporting Black business. We gotta support Black business. But when I get people on here that not Black, I just leave that alone. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna start bringing that into the mix, because I think everybody needs to support Black business, whether they're Black or they're not Black. Right. You know, so with that said,
support private businesses. You know, homeowners. Right now, we private businesses have been attacked by the government on a level that we've never been attacked on in the history of the United States. Right? But the way the COVID shut everything down and closed down so many mom and pops, mm-hmm. so many family owned businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, the attack has put more businesses out of business within the last 2 years than it has in the history.
So when I say Black business, you immediately went to private businesses. So it's a difference between that. Let me speak for a minute, Jism. I had a friend, and he would fuss at me. We childhood friend. He's Black, I'm Black. And when I would tell him about Black business, you got to support all business. What do you mean just Black? He would go so hard. But my point was, we got few businesses, and we need to support. You know, we really need to support with the Black businesses. And then it's almost like when I did when I did Gene Powell's documentary, and this, yep. I'm just trying to make an analogy of the point I'm trying to make. When I did Gene Powell's documentary, you probably wouldn't believe, but I had a couple people who actually called me and fussed at me and argued at me saying, why didn't you do one about cancer? You know, why didn't you one about this? So it's almost like, you know, it's just like, no, this is just something I'm trying to point out. I'm trying to tell you guys about Steven Johnson syndrome and that situation. So the same thing when we're talking about supporting Black business, I'm just trying to talk about Black business. When people say Black Lives Matter, you know, then everybody, oh, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, da, 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 da. When you say, you know, let's fight AIDS, people don't jump up and say, well, hey, well, cancer, well, this and this and this. So it's just crazy that that's where we at now, that you can't say let's focus on one thing, because it's like a whole bandwagon will come up with that, you know? So if somebody says something about cancer, then that's what we're talking about. So like I said, when I talk about Black business, it's just something that I see that there's few businesses, and without the support, they're going to go out the door. So if you can, please try to support Black business. Make go out of your way to say, you know what? The homie got this business, I'm going to support that. And I do understand what you're saying with small businesses and private businesses need support too, but I'm here to say that Black business definitely needs some support, you know, because it helps the community, it helps stops the violence. I lived in L.A.
Outside the circle to do any business versus when they, you know, some people don't think about which one of their friends are selling the same thing and could deliver it at the same price or even a better price for them. It just goes what's most convenient versus helping each other out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think human nature, I mean, you're in business. You've been in business for a while. What type of support have you got from your friends and your family and for your businesses?
You're talking about like the jewelry store?
Let's talk about your personal business. Those are jobs. I'm talking about your businesses that you started and you run, your record company.
Well, I would say the record company, the computers, and I get a lot of friends referrals off of these computers. When it comes
let's
to
talk,
the music.
Let's talk the music. Let's talk the music. Computer is like a service and something that they really, really need. But when we talk about your music and stuff, that's something that can, you know, it can be here or there.
I get more from the outside than the inside.
Yeah, that's what I said. It just
the hats and the shirts and the CDs and the records, it's more people I don't know that buy to show more love for the music than people I do.
That's crazy.
That's the way it is.
I saw, you know, if somebody listened to a lot of my podcast, they might feel like, oh, M feels salty or M feels this. But I watched Lenny S. the other day, and he said, they asked him what was the best thing, the biggest thing he learned about the music business. And he said, I learned that you get what you negotiate, not what you deserve. And he basically was saying the same thing I said. He told a million stories about how he had helped people out, done this, done that. And when they made $5 million or they did this and that, you would think they would come back and help him out. But he said, no, they don't. They don't.
Forgotten and disconnected.
He said, you get what you negotiate, not what you deserve. And that kind of helped me understand it, that that's just human nature, I guess. You know, you help people out.
I look at it as a world of rejection, and the only way to win is to keep charging that rejection till you get over
it. Mm-hmm. You know? You say keep charging the rejection?
Yeah. Rejection is just a challenge. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to keep getting rejected. Just like you ever heard the story of Sylvester Stallone?
No, break it down to me.
Sylvester Stallone had a script. He went around to like 85 different movie houses pushing the same script. And people that were interested that wanted to work with it had stars that wanted to play the roles. And he was like, no, I want to produce the movie, and I want to be the leading actor in Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He got denied over and over and over and over again, but he didn't give up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just hard work. It was learning from your mistakes and being relentless. That is the answer to this music business situation. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of how young you are, or where you're at, it's the hard work that's going to pay off. It's failing. Every time you fail, you make a mistake. You learn from your mistake, you get back up and you go harder. You know what I'm saying? Be relentless, not give up, charge that rejection, adapt and overcome and take the win.
Yeah, I came in the game. When I started going to the studio, the first studio I went to,
yep.
I was 21, and they told me then, this is how long I've been told I'm old school. And I was 21 when I first started going in the recording studio, and they say, you too old to rap. Why? That's for kids. Why are you rapping? And I'm paying the money, and they're still telling me this. So, you know, so as far as relevancy and like you just said, and dealing with the old, have you faced some of those things? Obviously, if you have, you've overcome them. But as far as staying relevant,
I'm still facing them. I'm still facing them, and I'm still overcoming them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Production-wise, I'm making some now beats. I still got my boom bap beats. I still got everything else that I'm doing. I got different projects. You know, I dropped 4 albums 6 months ago. I got 7 new albums that I'm ready to drop right now. And the music's different. I got a radio album produced by Nick Veazey from the Baker Boys that is dope. It's a different style of beat. I'm producing an album right now that has a different sound in it. But then I also got my boom bap. I'm working with that dude, Navi the North, that I mentioned, The Worldly Ways. Mm-hmm. I have a whole album produced by him that's on some straight Alchemist meets Evidence. I don't even know, production-wise. It's like Alchemist meets Evidence meets Dre. The production is super dope, but it's boom bap, raw hip-hop. But the beats that I'm making right now are, you know, I figured out a couple of things, and I got some now-sounding beats that Drake could fuck with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That I'm working with artists that are coming through that are younger dudes that are getting me hyped to do different styles. And I think it's going to make some money. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm putting. I'm basically spreading my focus out, charging full speed ahead at every rejection, and I'm going to win regardless.
It sounds to me like you're not scared to step outside the box. And sometimes I tell rappers, you know, some of the rappers over 30, I got some friends, like I say, and it's nothing wrong with how they rap if they choose to do that. But if they still want to keep rapping like it's 1988, then, hey, that's on them. So I tell, like, right. Some of them will tell me, I'm only going to rap over these type of beats. Or they got, and 98, when I did, I got a song called Jealousy on my Evolution of a Man album. And I rapped with a guy from Louisiana. And you would be surprised how many people from the blow was like, why you got that country dude on your song? Why you do it? He can't rap. Da-da-da-da-da. And he was from the South. That's the only thing. He just had a different, you know, a different style or whatever. You know, so it's nothing wrong with stepping outside the box and look what the South ended up doing, you know?
Yep. I think it's all just in the process of being versatile. Mm-hmm. Many styles. You know, like versatile is just...
I got a song.
Anybody can live in this house if they want to, but I ain't limiting myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that. You know? I appreciate that. And we know you ain't going nowhere because you've been here ever since, and you're still here, and you're still going strong, and you dropping them music videos, you dropping them. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, we got Jism in the house.
Jism, yeah. By definition.
Yes, we got Jism in the house. Okay. Let's talk about health, diet, and exercise. Brother, what you got going on in them departments?
I have all bad news.
Oh,
yeah. My health is taking the twists and the turns that I wasn't expecting. About 3 weeks ago, in the midst of my father's funeral, I had a real bad stomach situation where I couldn't eat for like a week. I had gastritis and esophagitis, and I guess it was almost going to turn into an ulcer. I guess something I ate was fucking up my stomach lining. And then about a week after that, I ended up finding out. A week after that, I got over that. Like 2 or 3 days after just getting over that, it was a night where I had consistent pain at my stomach, which ended up being my kidney. I didn't know, but I was trying to drink a bunch of water because I had a kidney. They told me I had a kidney stone back in March, which was like a year before. But I was thinking the more water I drink, I could, you know, flush out the kidney stone type of thing. So I was drinking water like crazy. In mad pain, ended up going to the hospital and finding out that I was that my kidney was infected and it was overfull with water because it wasn't passing. And I had an operation. I had a 6-millimeter kidney stone blocking my urethra so no piss could flow through my shit. So they went in with a laser, zapped the joint, and put in a string attached to a tube that was about 2 feet long, coming at a string coming out my penis and a tube going into my kidney. Before I even knew that I had that, after the operation, I had one of these, like, you know, water bottle type jugs that they used to piss in. And when I pissed, I peed half a jug of blood. I never pissed blood in my life. It was the most nightmarish thing to ever see, to piss blood out your dick. You know what I'm saying? After I piss blood and I'm looking down, I'm like, damn, there's a string hanging out my penis. Why is it a string with a knot and tapes? And I had to have that for a week. They just took that out 5 days ago. A girl pulled it out. She pulled it out and tickled as it went through. She's like, did you laugh? I'm like, no. And I did. But it was painful. You know,
so
every
what,
time
what
I urinated.
What was it? What exactly was it? What was wrong?
It's called a stent. I had a 6-millimeter kidney stone that was blocking my, that was messing up my kidney. So they had to go in there with a laser to clear out the kidney stone to blast it and turn it into particles of sand so I could piss it out. But so I could actually continue to piss, they put what's called a stent, which is a tube that opens up into your kidney and stays open so piss can pass. So I was pissing way more frequently. And I mean, I could hold it, but not too much, you know. But I had a string coming out my penis. They pulled it out, and it was literally about this long, went all the way up into my kidney through whatever path it went. When they pulled it out, I was just looking at it in amazement. Then I was saying, if I had a stone, there's no way a stone's going to pass through that little tube, because the tube was like as thin as this wire, even thinner than this, you know, like twice this thin. Craziness.
So the stone, they end up
my health isn't good. So that's the answer. My health isn't good. I'm making a comeback. You know, it's back to the same story. You know, my body rejected me. And I dealt with it, and I'm charging at it full speed ahead, trying to eat better and drink better. And regardless, nothing's going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. I was already rapping 2 days after the surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, I went back to work 2 days after the surgery. Only took a day off.
I ain't never heard no shit like that before, man. That's deep, bro. Well, definitely.
Don't get a kidney stone. I don't recommend them. The pain was the worst pain. They say it's worse than having a baby, but it was. I was literally not just moaning, screaming. Like, I was telling them to give me some pain medication.
And what do you get kidney stones from?
Kidney stones is from dieting, from diet, from eating meat, from eating salt and sodium. I guess what happens is when it doesn't process right through your system, they end up sticking together and forming, you know, and it ends up going hanging around in your kidney instead of being flushed out. And then it gets so big that it can't come out. So it ends up getting bigger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Y'all heard it from the man himself. This is why it's important to diet and everything. With brother, I'm sure after all that shit you went through, you're eating better now and everything, you know, eating and how about exercising? Are you able to do any exercise?
Yeah. No, I'm coming back. I'm in the process. It's all a process.
Yeah,
well, I was going to the gym before the whole COVID thing. I was hitting the gym 4 times a week. When they shut it down, my exercise routine is twisted. Now that it's back, I'm in the process of making a comeback. That's what's up.
Yeah, just give everybody just plug whatever you got going on. How can people contact you? What's the future hold for you? What you got upcoming? And then a couple of general questions and that'd be it.
Okay, so as far as contacting me, best way to contact is on Instagram at JizzimHighDef. JizzimHighDef. As far as what's going on, what I've dropped in the last four, 5 months that I don't know if you've heard about it. If you're listening in, you need to check out the different albums. One of them is an album called Paradigm Shift. It's the Robert and Robert album with Jism High Definition and Nova the Wraith. Really dope productions. Nova the Wraith is from the East Coast. He's from New York. I flew out there and recorded the whole album with him in hotel rooms. And actually, most of the album was recorded out there. He flew out here and recorded with me over the beats that were produced by the Soul Assassins, Jay Turner. Rest in peace. He ended up passing away before the actual album release. He was also supposed to be the DJ for the crew. So check that album. It's really dope. Paradigm Shift, Robert of Robertism, High Definition, and Nova the Wraith. Another album that dropped was the album with me and Soul King called Imperial Highway Triple OGs. That was actually the year previous, but don't sleep on that, because the reason I'm mentioning this one right now is because we're also on part two. Part two is produced entirely by Beat Ready from the West Coast Creations. Super dope beats. It has features from J-Ro from the Alcoholics. It has a feature from E Rule. We got a song with Born Allah. We got a song with Rocka from Dilated Peoples. It also has a song with Times Two, Gel Rock, and forgot the name of the Exile the Anti, actually, the name of the side crew. But it's a really dope album. That album's going to be dropping in the next 3 months. We got the graphics ready for that. Another joint that dropped was the All Deadly Merciless Medley. That was a 20 song album. Dope features. I think I did 10 of the beats on that particular album. It has 20 songs. I stopped making beats for the last 4 or 5 years, but I just got back up on my beat game. I'll mention a little bit of that next. But so the All Deadly Merciless Medley album is one. Another album I dropped was the Knights of the Old Democracy. So Knights of the Old Democracy has like 7 videos out for that particular album. That's the one that I've been working on the most visually. It has great production from Be Ready, who I just mentioned, for West Coast Creations, but also has joints by DJ Wu, So Dope 95. I produced 2 songs on the album. C1. West Coast Creations produced a couple of tracks on it. Then another album, the Frequency Freaks LP, was actually recorded before 2010. That's the album with me, Phoenix Orion, and Trendsetter over all 80s beats. That's readily available on the Bandcamp.
Do you have an official website where somebody can go and just really see everything we're talking about?
I don't. I would say I don't have it all broken down. Readily available.
Well, send me the links.
I do have links that I could send you from Bank that I've gotten off of DistroKid that has all the, you know, you can go on Spotify. If you type in my artist name on any one of those platforms, it pulls up over 200 songs. I have many albums and many songs out. So there's a lot. If you type up my name, you'll find, but I don't have it centralized on my own website. I am in the process of dropping a number of things, including hats and shirts. I have about 15 different logos, Jism High Definition and Illosophic Records and Illosophic. And then I also did some logos with the Riders of the Storm group with me, Monstro, DJ Ja Blues. We got 2 logos for that on deck as well. We're going to put all that up on the website so anybody worldwide can purchase it. Now, I'm going to put links in my Instagram, you know, on the little Instagram shortcut to be able to get to that store. But it's going to have over like 30 different things that you can buy, from hats to sweatshirts to t-shirts. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jism. I appreciate your time, brother. You paid your dues. You know,
I got an album dropping that I produced for Born Allah on the production. I got an album dropping with this. It's the Elevated Illosophic project that I'm producing, which has some new style beats. I mentioned the album that I did with Soul King that's on deck. I have a breakdancing album on deck. I got the album produced by Navi the North, Canada. So there's a lot of things in the brew that are going to be dropping in the next 2 months.
All right, well, brother. Again, shit, me and you got to get a song in one day, man.
Oh, we're past due. We'll make it happen.
We got to get a song, and we figure it out. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up, bro. I'm gonna be contacting you because I need them files and the information I needed.
All right.
Okay, well, take it, brother. Peace.
Salute. All right, brother. Stay up.
All right.
That concludes another Rappers Over 30 episode. Go to the show notes for links and more information on Jism High Definition. If you'd like to sponsor Rappers Over 30 podcast episode, email me at rappersover30@gmail.com. Spell the word 30 out. I wish you all the best of health, happiness, and success. Stay safe, and I'll see you all next Thursday. I want the world to be better because I was here. Will Smith.